Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil Vacchio.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us is here every single weekend. Sometimes it's 2 weeks in a row.
Two in a row.
Phil and Dave. And John Gabriel. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning. A little frazzled. We're trying to work out
What's going on today?
Technical difficulties.
Probably a power outage up at our FM transmitter site, so they're working on it. I'm waiting to hear back, so I may be a little busy.
That's all right, John.
While you guys are yakking away.
Your thing.
There you go.
Well, today is a big day, Phil.
Yeah, it is. It is a big day.
What is it?
Today is the Albany Alzheimer's Walk.
It is.
But it's one of the biggest ones in the area. It's the last one of the season, I believe, in this area, correct?
You know, it used to be at Siena College, and it's no longer at Siena College. It's at Siena University. It's a university now. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I forgot.
No, I was about to text my wife,
I didn't realize that until...
I was like, what are you talking about?
They changed the sign and everything, too, yeah.
Yeah, and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think when you're in the university... I know nothing about this, but I think when you're in the university game, it opens doors for more... funding and things like that, as opposed to colleges.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
There must be some differences, I would assume, if they change the name.
Right.
Yeah. Don't know
so this is the first Alzheimer's Walk at Siena University.
Oh,
that's right.
Interesting. Okay.
Going to be good.
And I think the walk starts at 11, the actual walk ceremony stuff.
The walk starts at 11, festivities kick off at 10, walk around. And
it's kind of, I'm glad, because it's not very warm outside right now.
It'll give us time to warm up.
Yeah, it's going to be cloudy, but no rain.
That's good.
And so for most, you know, maybe a couple of breaks of sun, 54 by like 3 p.m. So wear a jacket.
what's going on with the wind?
Let's see. Oh, 2 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's bearable.
I feel like that's more important sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Most of the time.
Yeah, that can bother you if you're trying to walk in the wind.
And I think, Phil, there's a whole bunch of Herzog people that'll be there.
We'll have a whole crew. Some family members, too. My kids are coming. My wife, John's coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to see our kids run around. And
it's
run
always
amok.
Fun, right? Yeah, I think the association moved every walk a little bit this year. I think people like it a little later.
Like in time, yeah.
Time-wise, yeah. In the day. Time in the day.
Well, I should mention this is a call-in show. John, I don't know if you're going to be ready to take any calls today, assuming anyone dares.
Well, we can try.
Dares to call.
The way I have things wired right now.
Someone call and test it out.
And see, but
see what we get.
Well, yeah, you can do that.
Give it a shot at 518-476-5900. Important questions need to be answered, Phil, and we could answer them in one of our four offices in Albany, Saratoga, Kingston, Queensbury, and they could always call. You guys can call out there and make an appointment at 518-465-7581.
Absolutely. Dave is available 24/7.
That's my personal cell phone number. Phil, first of all, I think we should talk about the walk a bunch over the course of the half hour, but I had a fact pattern, client, not really a fact, but the client came in, and so we did some stuff for aunt, okay, lovely aunt who has since passed away, and now two different nieces came in to do their own planning, and so they came in together, even though they kind of have nothing to do with one another in terms of plans. And one of them she's getting older, not old, getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And she is about to get a new hip. So technically, she's about to get a little younger because one of her body parts will be brand new.
Okay.
Average age of her body parts is going to go down.
Good for her.
Yeah. We're very excited for her. She is very nervous.
Is it procedure coming up soon? Is this what kind of prompted the meeting or what?
Well, it prompted part of the discussion, so they know they got to get their, you know, what's in a row.
Yeah.
And she is a widow.
Okay.
She does not have children. She does have some wonderful friends, and she said, "I'm concerned if my recovery doesn't go great."
Okay.
And I could say from previous discussions with her, she was kind of a worst case scenario type of person all the time, which is not a bad thing to be for planning.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be that all the time. It's a little depressing.
Yeah, but
you should think about those.
But
things.
Important question is, what happens if I need help?
Sure. Good question.
Right. And we talked about rehab and what that would look like and how that would be paid for.
Right.
And so number one, Phil, and I'll kind of pose this to you so you could debunk it. She said, well, I know I have at least 100 days of rehab. And I said, well, not really.
Partially correct.
It's up to. Yeah. So I'm her, you're me.
Yeah.
Let's role play here. I just said to you, yo, well, I know I had this hip surgery. I know I'm going to have at least 100 days, rehab. So I'm not really worried about the first 100 days. What would Phil Vacchio say to me?
Yeah. So start with what you just mentioned. It's up to 100 days total. So the only guaranteed days that I assume she has Medicare. Is she old enough to have Medicare?
She is old enough to have Medicare.
Okay. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So she has Medicare. So Medicare, which you get automatically when you are either 65 or disabled and under 65. I say automatically, you're automatically eligible. Yeah. You still got to apply. We refer out to some good people for that.
You mean as opposed to something like Medicaid where you have to qualify financially?
Exactly
so
right. Yeah. There's no financial eligibility requirements. So she has Medicare. She will have the first 20 days covered in full. And that's...
Well, and even then it's up to, because if she somehow quickly plateaued in her recovery and is no longer getting better, Medicare can say, well, you're not in our territory anymore. You're not getting better.
Well, true. Yeah. So that's that. But that's the full coverage of 100% coverage of that cost if she needs that level of care.
So first 20 days, assuming that she continues to rehab and get better, Medicare covers the whole boat.
Correct.
And then there's a but, though.
And the but, yeah. So and then after that, so yeah, first, like you said, if she doesn't need that level of care still, if she plateaus or she doesn't need some skilled nursing level care, as they call it, Medicare can say, all right, we're pulling the plug here and I'm not pulling the plug. we're pulling the rug and not paying anymore. Let's not go there. And then
you cannot say those words to this particular person,
you can't.
Because she will.
Yeah. We're pulling something else, pulling the rug and stopping payment. And days 21 to 100, same rules in terms of how long they will cover. If she stops needing that level of care, they will cease coverage. And then they also only cover 80% of the cost. Mm. And maybe she has some kind of supplemental insurance that would cover the other 20%. Not guaranteed. Depends on her policy.
So 80%, that's great. So I only have to pay 20%. That can't possibly be a lot of money.
No, not at all. So it's about $280 a day or so. So it is still quite expensive if you have to, cover that other 20% typically.
Yeah, so I think, $6,000 a month type if during those extra months. And it's going to be limited because if you count 100 days and each month has 30 days or so, you're only talking about 3 months and change max.
Yeah.
And that's assuming you keep getting better in your recovery, that the rehab is working for you. And we all know that at some point there may be a reality that things just don't get better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a bad hip. I'll tell you, we'll get back to her in a second, but I want to announce something to you. I unretired, Phil, from pickup basketball.
You're back in the game.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, baby.
What made you change your mind?
Well, there's a good friend of mine that once every couple months we do lunch, and I used to play basketball with him, and he said, hey, it's still going on if you want to. I kind of retired because two consecutive basketball outings, I saw two different people tear their Achilles.
Well, you had an injury scare too.
Yeah, that'll hurt.
Yeah, no, I've lost teeth almost. I've had a black eye in the office for about a month and a half once.
Not a good look for our clients.
Not the best.
And now you're going back for more.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is fun, that competitive void.
But why do I bring it up? Because I played a couple nights ago, and guess what still hurts?
Everything?
Everything.
Everything, yeah.
Guess that,
I'm like, I don't remember jamming my fingers. Apparently, I jammed all of them. And so on. So, for this individual, a hip surgery is going to be a big,
of course,
big deal.
It takes you longer to recover the older you are. I mean, that's just the fact of life here. So
from what you're saying, yes, Medicare can play a role, but it's not going to be the end all. It's not going to solve all of her potential problems. She's worried about the potential problems.
Yeah. So it's not, she can't guarantee herself 100 days of coverage. It's just not how it works. I mean, and possibly a bigger concern for her, or a more feasible scenario, is where she gets home, but she still needs care.
That's right.
Right? Because, God willing, a hip surgery is not that, it's not that it's not a big deal, but I hopefully she doesn't need to be in a rehab-type nursing home facility for a long time. But coming home, life may be a little bit different for her.
Yeah.
Right? She maybe not be as mobile as she used to be, and, she's going to need some care in the house. How's that going to go?
And it's all possible.
Right.
We're hoping she's not the only one to ever have hip surgery, and I'm sure it'll go very well. We're knocking on wood and hoping that all will work out for her. So she said to me, you know, I went to another attorney to talk about this. And she said to me that I make too much money for long-term care to ever be an option at home through Medicaid. And I visibly was upset when I heard this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming she's not making, you know, $20,000 a month.
No. And you'll get a kick out of this, I hope, because I thought it was pretty funny. She said to me, yeah, it was one of those free consults. And I said, you should ask for your money back.
Good one.
Yeah. Because, and she said, but it was free. I was like, well, she just cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that's not exactly true. So I don't know what her exact income is, but let's just say, because I think it was around about this, let's say it's about $3,000 a month of income in her retirement.
Yeah, so, which in the long-term care world is not a lot.
So factually, if someone's listening right now and they look up, they go on their computer, they look up, what are you allowed to make in income a month to qualify for home care Medicaid? They'll see something like $1,800 plus a couple bucks here or there.
Yeah, what's the Medicaid income limit? Yeah, you type that in, you're going to get a number.
Right. And they're going to say, Phil and Dave don't know what they're talking about because $3,000 is more than $1,800 and change.
It's right here. It's black and white on the screen, right?
So again, I am that potential client. You are me. You say to me what?
Absolutely not, David. So yes, there is a Medicaid eligibility income limit. So that's 1800. That's the number you're going to see if you Google that phrase, any version of that phrase.
So I make too much.
Right. So that's you're going to look on its face. You do. You make too much on its face, how it's written. However, that just means you have excess or surplus income, as they call it. So you're over the quote unquote allowable limit that you're allowed to keep. All right. But if you make over that, there's ways we can, you're going to be qualified regardless. And it's whether or not you have to contribute some of that overage to the cost of the care back to Medicaid.
So let me freeze right there, because you said it. You are eligible for Medicaid. If you apply for Medicaid, you will be approved if your assets are below what they're supposed to be and your income is $3,000 when it's allowed to be $1,800. You qualify for the program, but as Phil, you're mentioning, there will be a spend down every month of that extra income that you have.
Yeah, and that's the phrase you're going to see on that, you know, Medicaid note approval notice. You're approved with a spend down of blank amount, the amount of your net income that you make over the allowable limit.
So I think you ought to explain once again what you have before. What does spend down mean?
John knows.
Sure. So
John knows.
Don't ask.
Well, so we'll talk in terms that I think everyone knows, which is deductibles. If you have health insurance, you likely have a deductible, meaning that you have to pay a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Out of pocket before your insurance coverage kicks in to cover the rest of it.
Yeah, it's your contribution requirement.
So in the world of Medicaid, it's not called a deductible. It's a spend down of your excess income. And if, you know, someone makes $20,000 a month of retirement income, good for them. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're proud of you. Mm-hmm. You have such a large spend down, that's a lot more than $1,800 a month, that it likely is not going to ever make sense for you to be involved in this program. But even that person earning $18,000 more than they're allowed qualifies for Medicaid because they just happen to have a large spend down.
It would be approved. It just, like you said, wouldn't make sense. But that's obviously an extreme example. Your income has to be quite high nowadays for it not to make sense.
And the big problem, you know, so it's, I think it's a problem where someone like this client has $3,000 or $4,000 or $2,500. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have $1,900 a month of income, Phil. Yeah. They have Social Security. Yeah. That's all they have.
Yep.
And they'll go to someone potentially, or they'll look up a number and say, oh, I can't qualify for any help at home because I make $80 too much.
Yeah, and that's even more a sad scenario.
It's just not true.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get to the break pretty soon, so we'll talk in the second half about how you could even preserve that excess income.
Pretty easily, yeah.
But factually, you cannot make too much money to qualify for Medicaid. You can make too much money for it to make sense.
That's right.
To go through the Medicaid program.
Right.
And there's a big difference between the two. We'll talk more about this in the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid program right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikian.
And before the break, well, before we get back to what we were talking about, I want to announce again, we have a big Alzheimer's walk today.
I thought you were going to announce that I unretired from pickup basketball, which is a second announcement.
We'll get back to that in a moment. But no, we have the Alzheimer's walk. We're going to have a big contingency for our firm there. It's a very well-attended walk. It's a great cause.
Hundreds of people.
Hundreds of people. Come on, check it out. There's a lot to do, some live music and things of that nature.
If you're a caregiver, if you've been diagnosed, if you're a friend, if you've lost someone along the way, there's different kinds of flowers you can hold. Different mm-hmm. colors represent your different experiences with this disease. You might even hear about some of the new treatments, some of the new medicine that's out there.
A lot of good stuff. And a lot of services there with tables, with information to learn some stuff that may help you. So very, very good walk. Come check it out.
Get your steps in, too.
Get your steps in. It's a nice walk. I like the Siena University
Siena walk. Very good university.
Very nice. So back to what we were talking about before the break, Dave, you brought up a fact pattern, a scenario you had this past week of a woman with concerns about qualifying.
Very valid concerns.
Yeah, very valid concerns. And everyone should think about these things as we age. But she got some bad information. You know, some attorney told her, you make too much to qualify for Medicaid.
It was technically correct, like we talked about, where income is higher than the limit. Just so you know out there, the income limit to qualify for a nursing home Medicaid is $50 a month. Do you think you make more than 50 bucks a month? Yes, of course. Yeah. The Medicaid still covers you, but you have this spend down. They take your income.
Yeah, that is a different world. If you're in a nursing home, the government assumes that all your costs are covered,
yeah.
right? Because you're getting fed, you have clothing, you have room and board. So they don't really, it's a $50 you get to keep. And what we're about to talk about, how to protect the overage, does not apply to nursing home level Medicaid.
John, this is, what we're about to see here is yeah. Phil Vacchio cooking. He's about to cook.
I'm about to cook. Right. Get ready, boys.
Yeah. All right. So All Phil, right. please get into this because I love the way you phrased it and I know what's coming.
Right.
So you have expenses at home.
Yes, you have expenses at home, and luckily the government is somewhat reasonable about that. They recognize that. Yep. I'm not in a facility where all my costs are covered. I'm still in my home, whether that's a home that I own, whether it's a rental apartment, independent living community.
Mm-hmm.
It's someplace that's not in a skilled nursing facility. What does that mean? That means I still have life expenses. I still have rent payments. I still have, you know, utility bills, property taxes, all the above, right? They still have those expenses.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. So those don't go away, unfortunately, for any of us. We can't get
right.
rid of those.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
the government recognizes that and they say, all right, you have this 1800 limit. And if you make over that, there's this surplus. And if we do nothing, we said before, it's our contribution that we have to contribute toward the cost of care first.
So Phil, she makes $3,000. It's 1200 too much. She doesn't do any of these extra things you're talking about. She will be eligible. She will qualify as long as her assets are below a certain level.
Correct.
Right. And you could do a trust in the next month. You're good there because there's no look back. And she'll forego, you know, X amount of her income a month, $1,200. And if she's okay with that, we're okay with that. And Medicaid will cover after that spend down happens.
That is correct. But there is absolutely no reason to be okay with that, Dave.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, like,
because this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if she wants all of her household income to continue to pay all of her household expenses, which is probably a good idea for her, right? She'll go through this extra step right. Through a pool trust.
Yeah. So pooled income trust is the tool we use. Essentially, we create an account with one of a few nonprofit agencies in the area, and Medicaid recognizes this as an allowable way to meet that spend down limit. So instead of in your example, the 1,200 overage, instead of losing it to contribute toward the cost of my care every month, we're going to transfer it each month to this account that they set up in you know, for my benefit.
Yep.
And then what can I do with that money? Well, almost anything I could do otherwise. I'm going to submit my bills to this agency, to this company that's managing the account. It could be utility bills. I can put all my food and clothing and whatnot on a credit card and give an itemized credit card statement. If I have a car, I can pay my car insurance. Really, anything that's for your benefit, for the most part, they will pay. The only thing they won't pay is the cost of other health insurance premiums. But there's an exception for that.
Also, booze and cigarettes. They don't pay for booze or cigarettes.
Yeah. Got to get creative there, but
that's an outrage. Oh, I'm kidding.
Well, no. You use your $1,800 you still have.
They don't want to fund your vices, John. Yeah. All right, yeah.
And someone might say, first of all, you know, my sister lives in Pittsburgh and they don't have that program. Well, this is New York. We're talking about New York. So when Phil, you're mentioning the government, we're talking about the state of New York. Yeah, because New York, that we have all sorts of listeners, Phil, all sorts of different feelings about the state of New York and politics and this and that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. You should all be very appreciative of what Phil has been talking about, because New York is very unique and New York is very smart in this regard.
Yeah.
They figured out that you are very expensive if you need a nursing home. They know Phil exists. They know Jane Marie exists. They know I exist. They know we will get you qualified at that nursing home as soon as possible.
Yep. And then the government's footing a larger bill in that scenario. So they have an interest in keeping you home as well. So they I think they make it more reasonable to encourage
you're
that.
You're a cheap date at home, guys. Because who's paying the bills at home? You. Who's responsible for everything? You.
Yeah.
And if you are approved for community Medicaid, and I think next time Kim's on, we'll have a whole different discussion of what does it mean to be approved non-financially.
Yeah, there's one other component there, of course.
But from a financial standpoint, New York says not only is there no look back period, we can get you qualified on November 1st, this November 1st, like a week from today. Yep. Not only that, but you know what? You could also keep your income. But it's complicated, because there's a lot of ways you could commit fraud with these types of things, right?
Of course.
These concepts are ripe for bad doers.
And Medicaid fraud is not worth it. We're not encouraging Medicaid fraud. We do it the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's catches to everything. You know, the pool trust company will charge a small fee every month to hold on to money. They do this with a lot of special needs money as well. So these are big nonprofit entities. Yeah. You have your own account for dad. Every month, $1,200 goes to this account. Every month, $1,200 of expenses. You know, we're not Daddy Warbucks. There's plenty of expenses to go around.
Easy to spend money nowadays. Yeah. And that brings back what you said earlier. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, right? Because if I have a $18,000 a month spend down, if I can't spend that money and it just accumulates in that account and I pass away one day, it doesn't come back to my family. You know, it goes to somewhere. It goes to some kind of nonprofit or some kind of cause, but it does not come back to the person or the family, and that's when sometimes it doesn't make sense.
I think we've said this a lot over the years, Phil, you and I, but the alternative to the pool trust or the alternative to home care through Medicaid is you private paying for all your needs. That's number one. Or if you are going to go the Medicaid route and you don't utilize the pool trust, the alternative is you will factually lose all of your excess income every single month.
Right.
And this gal will have $1,800, $1,820 per month to pay all of her expenses, food, clothing, rent, utilities, you know, the emergencies.
Yeah, that may not be enough by today's standards. You know.
Unless it's $50 over the limit, $150 over the limit, we're almost always encouraging people to look at these pool trusts. And we've actually done lots of seminars. I know Kim and Jane Marie have done lots of seminars with a representative from NYSARC, one of the pool trust companies out there, because the technology has changed. It's easier to upload bills. The whole process.
They've made it a lot easier.
It's an industry.
It used to be more complicated. They've recognized that, made it a lot easier. A lot of these agencies like NYSARC have some great representatives that will assist and help people get creative with how to spend the money. Because that's the question sometimes where it's, the overage is somewhat high. How do I spend it? And there's ways we can get creative and
There's unbelievably creative ways. Yeah. I mean, I think if we explain some of them over the radio, it would confuse people more. But let's just say you can create monthly expenses.
Yeah.
That you don't have currently.
There's things we can do. And they're all legal, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And it's all for this greater purpose of trying to keep you where you want to be, right? So if you want to stay at home, yep. It's complicated. Getting old is complicated. Getting a new hip, it's a complicated thing, not just because of the complications that could happen from a health standpoint, but that recovery isn't going to be 100%. I've had relatives, I'm sure you have, Phil, yeah. where later in their lives they have a procedure and their 100%, their full tank is less full than it used to be.
It's never the same after that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new normal we have to get used to. So
I've seen it with COVID as well. I can speak for my father where he got a doozy of a dose of COVID actually mm-hmm. twice. And, age is a part of it, but also, it takes a lot out of you, these types of things.
Dave, if I go out for a night of drinking, guess what? I'm taking 3 days to recover.
3 days.
Used to not be that way.
Well, where before, we take a couple of hours.
Of life. That's right.
I don't want to make it about myself.
I remember
myself.
Those days. Yeah.
I used to be able to play basketball 2 days in a row. Now I can't.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
Exactly. Everyone has to get used to the new normal as we age.
Jackie, yep. My daughter, 12-year-old Jack, my 12-year-old daughter, John Jackie, trying to get more, exercise, and she's trying to compete
sure.
in different sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's asked me if I'll go for a run with her. And, yeah, let's go for a jog.
Oh, wow.
My God.
She outpaces you, doesn't she?
Outpaces me.
Yeah, yeah.
She weighs like a fifth of what I weigh.
Yeah. It's a big moment when your child can. Yeah.
And then the next day she's like, you want to do it again? I cannot move.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I didn't stretch her.
Stretching is important also, yeah, the older you get.
I also never had to stretch.
I mean, if you did it every day on a more regular basis, you might feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
still,
eventually.
You can't keep up with someone
jogging every
14.
Day, John.
But
who do you think I am?
Well, I know.
How dare you?
I know.
Do you a lot
Otherwise,
of running around?
No, I despise running. I'd rather do calisthenics and whatnot. Even that, I
calisthenics.
Don't do enough of.
It's back.
Oh, wow.
Oh, calisthenics
some,
is huge.
Some say it never left, calisthenics.
Yeah. That was always my thing.
So you do like, I know it's a radio program, we should talk about other things, but
well health is important.
Maybe
right?
after this we'll talk about
it. Yeah, health is important. Yeah,
let's talk about this wall. We got a couple minutes left, so right. So I think festivities start around 10, so you could show up at the campus as early as 10 o'clock.
Yes,
there's vendors there. Herzog will have a table there. There's a caregiver tent that you're gonna there's people from the Alzheimer's board, there's people in that organization. You're gonna see people holding different colored flowers, Phil.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They mean different things.
So people who have been diagnosed, people who are caregivers, people who have lost someone in the past.
Yeah.
Different colors that represent. And the scene is, John, have you ever been? It's unbelievable.
Yes, I have,
with all the flowers planted.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. And you'll see, there's some TV coverage that you'll probably see tonight, which is pretty cool. You see all of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But don't worry about the weather today. It's going to be cloudy and it's going to be cool. So, it's... Expect 50-ish.
It's a good full day.
Sweater weather.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay with
and,
that.
And the wind right now is 4 miles an hour, so I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So it should be good for
That's
the walk.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
If you want to see a bunch of kids with way too much energy,
no, that's
you can come
fun.
Down and hang out with Phil's kids and my kids.
What else?
Way too much energy. You got 1 minute.
1 minute. Well, I had a whole thing, Phil, about camps, and I know a lot of people up in the Adirondacks and the Catskills, these types of weekends after Columbus Day, we're closing down camps, and I think it's probably a whole other program or two, but planning for those kinds of camps is no simple task.
Yeah, the succession plans for those can get quite complicated, and people start to think about that when we're closing up shop and talking to family and who's participating, who's not,
By the way, if you have one of those camps in one of your trusts, like a Medicaid trust, and you're obligated to cover things like some of those taxes and expenses, it is possible to use the pool trust for those types of things as well.
Great point. Getting creative. All right. Let's wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah. Hopefully hear us on the FM line eventually.
Probably by, there is a power outage in Colony right now at Kings Road and Dennis Terrace. It doesn't affect any more than 10, 15 people. It's just right there. So that's what's going on, the issue. If you're listening to this on Sunday morning, ignore what I just said.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.